Good morning, everybody. This is Judith Acope. You're listening to Mad Love. Let's get into it. So, yeah, I watched Monique on Club Shay Shay. So, listen, people gonna hate on Shannon Sharp, but you gotta admit, he's doing what every podcaster dreams of, which is he's getting the best guests. They're giving their best information. They're using names. They're not holding back. They're drinking that dark liquor. And, you know, he's getting the views. He's getting the views because he's interviewing the people we want to hear from. Isn't that incredible? You know, you got all these gatekeepers across all industries, and they are presuming they know what you want to watch. Right? And so for decades, centuries, that might be an exaggeration, but for a long, long time, there have been people who, because I've had these meetings, they'll tell you what you want to see. They'll tell you what black people like. You know, I have an amazing screenplay. It's very old now. But I remember I was talking to a black producer, and he was like, yeah, this fight is unrealistic. Black people pull knives in their fights. And I was like, okay. I was very young at the time, but I was like, I've never pulled a knife in a fight with a loved one. And I didn't grow up in a home where people pulled out. I didn't witness that. That's why it's not in the script, you know? And I'm like, that's not true. You talk crazy. You talk like a slave. And that's the problem with the industry. A lot of people have a slave mentality, and Monique called it out. Look, you don't have to like her. You don't have to agree with her. But the point she's making is true. If you know someone is doing something and it's wrong and you don't say anything because you're afraid to lose your money or lose your standing, that makes you a slave too. You know, and all this stuff is going on because people won't say anything. They're also desperate and they don't want to be blackballed, which is an ironic thing. And it's like, what are we talking about here? And I believe her. I believe her experience with Tyler and Oprah was one way behind the scenes. I believe they were all empathetic. And then Lee Daniels is the only one that publicly apologized to her. And it's like the rest of it is like, well, I'm going to put on a show and make Monique be the problem because I need to keep getting this paper from these white people, which I'm not that person, but that's what it looks like. Everything's not racial to me, but I know all the people who finance big projects are mostly white. And that's what it looks like. And mostly Jewish if you're dealing in Hollywood, which is not anti-Semitic. It's just a fact. And so they're the gatekeepers. And a lot of it, I'm telling you, and if they're super liberal, get out of the way because they're going to say some really insulting shit. You know, because liberal people think they know everything that black people need. You know, I remember being in high school and I don't think this man was a liberal. He was just ignorant, which might be the same thing. This white teacher, he was fighting a class full of black girls about needing to put oil in our hair. No, that's not true. You know, oil holds too much. Hair holds too much oil, not the other way around. And I literally was like four or five black girls raising our hands like, no, that's true for y'all's hair, not our hair. Which sounds reductive, but that's what we're talking about. So kudos to Cat Williams. Kudos to Monique. And Monique said it 10, 15 years ago. And everybody was okay to be like, yep, she's just a big, fat, loudmouth. She should know her place and blah, blah, blah. Listen, Monique is a bad sister because she is the only person I've ever been watching a movie and was terrified her character was coming back. When I was watching Precious, I remember feeling a sense of relief. Like, woo, thank God. Because, you know, there's a stretch where Monique is just not there. And it's good. Like, you finally feel like this girl got a shot at life. And then, I don't know, there was a time in that frame when she's gone where I was like, oh, no, Monique is coming back. Do you know how powerful that is? Monique she was a beast. She's a good actor and she was fantastic. on her radio show as well. I wouldn't call myself a Monique fan, but I've liked a lot of her work. And so I guess I am a fan. Hey, Mo. Anyway, I think she's fantastic. I love her Baltimore accent. She's had a journey. She's been through quite a bit. And her life wasn't easy. And her family life wasn't easy. And she's another person who was molested and is very open about it, see? And I'm telling you, there's something weird about an industry that draws in so many people who've been harmed, you know? So kudos to her. Kudos to Shannon. His podcast is on fire, baby. Everybody gonna go on there. Soon he's gonna start talking to the white people we want to hear from. Yeah, I can't think of any right now. But I'm sure there's somebody that we want to hear their side, unfiltered, with a little Cuvassier or whatever it is they drink it, cognac. And yeah, good for him though. But if you get a chance, if you have YouTube or wherever you watch, yeah, I think it's on YouTube. And Colin Cowherd looks like a genius by signing Shannon Sharp to his podcast network. And good for Shannon. All right. So yeah, I enjoyed that. Monique named names. She spoke at length about her treatment by Tyler Perry, by Oprah Winfrey, how she was vilified. And, you know, people who say one thing to your face and then do something else publicly. I think Kevin Hart was mentioned. He helped her out. But then when it came time to give her some work, I'm sure he got the message like, it's not an effective blackball if you give her work, you know. And it's just sad. It's sad that we're participating in a system that's so oppressive to us, you know, which is why you need to raise your own money and make your own projects. It's just ridiculous. And then people say, it's different now. When I was coming out of film school, you could make independent movies, but who would show them? If you couldn't find an independent theater, then it was a wrap. But now there's the internet. You know, people want to vilify all this stuff that's out here. The internet's bad. Is it bad? It's not all bad. It's a lot of good stuff that happens on the internet. And just like anything else, there can be some bad things. But for the most part, the internet is the liberator, baby. We all free now. We can tell our stories the way we want to tell them. And if we want to climb on a podcast and tell all our business and make the crooked places straight and roast people who roasted us, I'm here for it. I'm going to watch that every time. I really am. And I will say this about Oprah and her sensibilities in terms of film. I have a hard time believing that she does not have a huge chip on her shoulder. When you're a television personality, and she was hosting a television show, she was obviously not an actor, obviously had deep desires to be an actor, and took this craft very seriously. Fortunately and unfortunately for her, instead of learning the craft, she gets sucked up into one of the biggest productions ever, and it was a home run right out of the box. There was no need to talk about any other Color Purple movies. For me, the one in 84, 85, that's the one. And it was fantastically done. I watched it, and I have on occasion watched parts of it. It was well done. It was a good movie. But it spoiled her because it made her think that that's the formula. And you can tell. I'm not talking out of turn. She thinks that's the formula. But she's not a tastemaker. Her movies have done horrendously well. I remember that Beloved. She was so proud of it. She had carved all this time and energy out of her television show to tell us about Beloved. And nobody wanted to see it. To this day, I've never seen it. It's not what I want to watch. Her taste is not reflective of what people want to watch. And so it's burning her butt. It's driving her crazy to be as successful as she is at one thing, but can't have the thing that she really, really, really wants, which is to be a successful film person, which would lead you to do things like, oh, I don't know, hang out with a sexual predator who produces great movies. And you just either pretend you don't know, or you really don't know this man at all, But his reputation was horrible, so I don't believe she didn't have any idea he wasn't a good person. His reputation is horrible. It was horrible. In the 90s and 2000s, everybody knew Harvey Weinstein would curse you out, mistreat you, like berate you, scream in your face. So she approved of that behavior if she didn't even know the sex stuff. And people say, well, I can't speak on that because it didn't happen to me. But, you know, you knew it was happening. You knew that was happening. Because it was, if I knew, and I wasn't even really in the industry, then I know you know. So, like, let's not play games. You are desperate. You want to be good at this. You want to be a star, okay? And so her sensibility and what the projects she picks, first of all, they're all they're all period pieces. Because I think Lee Daniels put her in The Butler. That's in the 60s. Beloved takes place in some time frame. I don't know what it is, but it's the past. And this Color Purple musical she was so fond of is more Color Purple, which is in the, I'm not sure what time frame that is. Is it? It's the early 1900s, mid-1915, 1916. I'm not sure. But it's a period piece. And then, you know, Oprah's ego is just huge. And it's weird that she does not read the room at all. And she might be what you call a megalomaniac. So apparently her and Monique were in competition for a lot of roles. And she would just call her fancy friends and be like, well, I want that role. You know, like, I had a feeling she might be kind of obnoxious. And I've always liked Oprah, but the more you hear about her now when people are really willing to speak, it's like, oh, okay. You sound like you might be kind of a bitch, which I probably suspected, let's be honest, because you can't get that famous and have that many issues and those many years in public wearing your heart on your sleeve for a little bit, enough to make people think they know you. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really know anything about Oprah. We know what she's told us, but she doesn't give her deep opinions on anything. I know she wanted Barack Obama as president, but, you know, I don't feel like I know Oprah. I feel like I'm familiar with her face because she's been on TV for 40 years, but I don't feel like I know her. You know, there's something about her that feels shut off. And when you know her background, that makes sense, because she wasn't a popular kid. You could tell. And when she first got on television, her energy was totally different than when she got off of television. You know, there's a sense of entitlement that you can tell comes with someone who, you know, worked their way to the top. And she feels entitled to your adoration, because she wasn't the type of person that was supposed to even be on TV. Overweight with the Jerry curl. She wasn't supposed to make it. But she did make it. And now she feels entitled to your worship. It's weird. And I'm sure some of that goes to, you know, her abusive background. And then just fucking fame. Fame is terrible. You know? It's just not awesome. And I think it's weird that she thinks she has great taste in movies and she's so high-minded about it. And then nobody wants to see what she makes, because you don't have great taste in movies. And this is what I resent. And resent might be a strong word, but this is what I don't respect and kind of resent about her and Tyler Perry. They don't put people on. And all these years, you cannot look at the school of, oh, Oprah Winfrey made this person's career. I mean, Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, and people hate them. And on top of that, I think she got a big chunk of their shows. It's not like she went and made, like, you know, if you want to be a great filmmaker, find a person and help boost their career. Learn from them. Be a part of their journey. I think she worked with, cannot think of her name right now. I can see her face. But the one female director, and I think she did Selma, another period piece. I mean, Oprah is stuck in the past. She is stuck in a world where nobody's interested, really. I mean, she's the one who wants to tell stories from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s. But we're still alive. And if you want to be great at something, put on other people and let them be great. That's what makes you great. And I think that's why people aren't feeling her, to be honest with you. I mean, she really has no taste in popular filmmaking. She will not be known as a great producer of film. And then if you mistreat your own people, you're Steven from Django, and really, history will not be kind to you. So, I mean, she had an illustrious career on TV, making people, you know, I feel like she created this, what initially started off being a safe space to share your pain, and it just turned into like a circus. Like, you can see people going out of their way to be a victim of something, and I call that the Oprah effect. You know, she sold a lot of books for folks. She sold a lot of CDs for some folks that she was a fan of. She did a lot for people that she was a fan of. And I think it just drives her crazy that she's not good at making movies. And, you know, but you got to be a nice person. Film is collaborative. Film is not like your television show. Film is collaborative. You've got 200 people to help you make this thing become a reality. And I think that's why, first of all, you don't pick the right scripts, but second of all, you don't treat people well. And I think that's why you haven't had the success you wanted. And that's just real talk. You know, and I'm not anti-Oprah. I was a huge fan. But when you start to see the realities of people, you got to believe it. And we're staring down the barrel of Puffy being a straight pervert. I told y'all, I knew a lawsuit was coming. I was not expecting the Cassie lawsuit. And I believe Jay-Z has thrown down the gauntlet. I feel like, you know, me, Puff, and Jay-Z are all the same age. And I do believe there is a time when you just get tired of playing the game. And it feels like Sean Carter has gotten tired of playing the game. And, he said what he said at the Grammys, and I think we're gonna start to see some truth come out about him too, and we're not gonna like it. But yeah, that's all I can say about that right now. All right, everybody, have an amazing day. Can't believe it, we're already deep into February. Next week is Valentine's Day. But you know, my whole theory is love me every day. But it is mid-February. So whatever it is, whatever your goals are, let's get after it. You know, my goal is more money. More money and no more dumb bosses. Yeah. Have a great day. Continue to like, subscribe, share. If you found some value in this podcast, you can Cash App us at $ Just Media Works. And yeah, let's just keep going, keep pushing, keep being our best. Excellence is required. Take care.